My name is Adam. An alternate universe exists. Along with my friend Joe, we have been given a task to use a magic window to gaze into these alternate universes and cast judgment upon them. To do that, we must become something else. We are the Monitors.
Ooh.
I like the Legends one this week with the Heat Wave. He's just like, you idiots don't get this by now.
Yeah. I think he's been saying that, actually, and when he does those little voiceover intros. I mean, he's right. This is like 15 episodes into the season. So, like, if you don't understand the premise of Legends by now, like, you're not going to.
Yeah. I think they did do that one once before. No new Supergirl this week.
Thank God.
Yeah. Honestly, it was a relief. We did have new Flash, new Legends, new Arrow.
Yeah.
I thought Flash was actually the weakest show this week.
Flashman has been weak all season. I don't know what's going on with him.
But I mean, this one was especially slow.
Like, oh, yeah. There was a lot of things about this episode that I was happy.
Pardon the pun, Flash is slow.
Yeah. I was happy that they kind of put Barry to task. I mean, do you want to describe what happened in the episode a little bit?
So last week, of course, Wally West was pulled into the Speed Force. He's trapped there now, and Savitar was let out. Now this week, Barry has to go into the Speed Force to rescue Wally.
Right. So there were some things about this that made sense to me and some that didn't. So Barry going into the Speed Force, I feel like was a... I was happy that the Speed Force wasn't as welcoming this time as they were with the Runaway Dinosaur, because last season when he went into the Speed Force, they helped him to accept his mother's death. And then I felt like...
Yeah, it was like nurturing him.
Yeah, then I felt like two episodes later, he just like ignored all of it and ran back in time and created the Flashpoint.
So but he did say to the Speed Force, well, Zuma just killed my dad too, so I was kind of off the rocker.
Yeah, but like that's no excuse. Like they, you know, they said to him, like, you know, you've been hurting so long with your mom's death. Like that's no excuse for you to be so selfish. You're supposed to be the hero. We gave you back your powers for a reason. And all you've done is selfish things with him. And it's true. Like, he's literally the greatest villain the Flash has ever faced because he's created all of these problems. Like, in the first season, he didn't even really beat Zoom. Eddie did, you know? Like, I'm sorry, Reverse Flash. He didn't even beat Reverse Flash. Eddie did by killing himself. And then, I don't know. And
right there, what you just said, that's why I'm still not convinced Wally is Savitar. I still think there's a possibility it could be Barry. A future version of Barry.
I mean, that's the popular theory going around. I don't think it's made...
Probably is Wally, but...
I don't think it makes as much sense with what Savitar has said so far. Like, Barry imprisons his future self. Like, future Barry imprisons future Barry into a prison. Like, also, like, if Barry knows his prison's terrible because he can't get Wally out, like... Why does he still make that prison in the future for Savitar to be in? Like,
well, he says, like, they can't just get Wally out. Apparently, did they explain why the Speed Force, like, needs a speedster to...
It's because of Barry. Like, Barry created this prison. So, in Barry's prison rules, you need to, I guess somebody needs to be there. So, even in this, so they presented, you know, old characters from The Flash. So we meet Eddie Thawne again, except he's the Speed Force
version.
That
was a good thing I liked about this episode was it was recurring guest star galore.
Yeah, I was happy to see Eddie, honestly. And I was happy that Eddie's the one calling him out on, like, how horrible he is. Like, Barry, at some point, like, Barry's been learning all of these lessons. And at some point, he's got to apply them because he's not done that yet in three seasons of this show. And he, you know, frankly tells him, like, you know, you didn't save... the day at the end of season one, like, I killed, you know, Eddie.
I sacrificed my life to save you.
Eddie saved you, you know. Eddie's the big hero of the day. And then even in, like, in season two with Zolomon, you know, like, it's because the Time Wraith is the one who took care of Zolomon for
Even before that, at the end of season one, Ronnie Umell as Firestorm saved Earth from being absorbed.
Yeah, so, like, what is Barry really doing? And the only reason that dumb vacuole existed is because Barry wanted to run back in time to save his mom, you know, like,
yeah,
it was really his fault. So if he hadn't done that, then, you know, they would be fine.
So the three visions he had were Eddie, who you just said sacrificed himself. Then Ronnie.
Who also sacrificed himself to be a hero.
And then I enjoyed seeing Captain Cold, but they kind of shoehorned him sacrificing himself in a little bit there.
I was curious as how the Speed Force knew that he sacrificed himself. If there's some, like, it seems like they're just some sort of sentient entity that watches over all the time.
Yeah. Is it like a god or something?
I don't know. It was weird. But it was like they did show him that, like, Ronnie, you know, has a baby with Caitlin. Like, that was a life he could have had. But he sacrificed himself to save the world. And what did Barry do? Like, you know, his mom dies, his dad dies, he runs back in time and changes things. Like, he's so selfish with his powers and abilities, and everybody else uses it to save the world. And even now, with him coming up to try to save Iris, it's not me who should be saving it, it's Wally. Like, because somehow Wally, who just got his powers, is faster than me, who, you know, got really fast to defeat Zoom and also to defeat Reverse Flash. Like, I don't know. How did Wally somehow get faster than Barry? Like, how did this happen?
I don't even know. It's just arbitrarily.
And he's just, like, conceding this point now? But I thought it was funny because I lost my train of thought on that one. But, like, it frustrates me that Barry is, like, the worst character on the show. You want him to learn from his mistakes, but he can't. And then I liked sort of how they dealt with Jesse Quick and how she was felt so, like, powerless this episode. Like, she didn't know what to do. Like, she tried to get into the Speed Force with Barry, and Barry's like, no, you stay out. And then her plan,
not accepting any help again.
Yeah, but then her plan was to just, like, I don't know, run out and defeat Savitar on her own. Like, Barry couldn't even do it. And I thought it was funny with that HR just like, well, maybe we should wait for the real Flash to do this. And she got all offended.
I did love that line. That was so savage.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, Wally's still a beginner, and so is Jesse Quick. Like, she kind of just started doing this. Like, she hasn't had her powers that long. She's had it for what, like the summer?
It is annoying, though, because Barry just went out and fought villains. And, like, if he was getting his ass kicked, he would retreat and come back.
Right.
I'm like, why can't... They should have Jesse Quick and Wally doing that. You know, if they're getting their ass kicked, hang back.
Yeah.
But no, it's either he yells at them not to go, and then they go, and then they get killed or something. It's always the worst possibility.
It frustrated me that when she goes, she finally finds a way to get to Savitar, and then she's like, okay, so what do I do? Like, what's my play here? Then HR was like, well, I've been telling you this whole time to not go because you're just going to get yourself killed. But let's think this out. He's wearing armor for a reason. It must be that he's vulnerable somewhere in his armor that you should be able to hit. And then sure enough, she, like, stabs him in the neck because there's, like, less armor
in the,
there.
In the bright blue glowing part.
But, I mean, like, doesn't Jesse have, like, 5 degrees? Like, wasn't she a super genius? Like, she can't figure out the point of armor on her own without, like, the dumb HR telling her, like, what to do?
Well, she's got to rush headlong into danger.
Yeah, which made no sense.
I was a little confused at the beginning of the episode of what the tone was, because, like, Joe West is standing there, like, on the verge of a breakdown because he just lost Wally into the Speed Force.
Yeah.
And then Cisco and HR making Super Mario jokes about negative worlds.
Well, I mean, they've had this discussion before because, like, The Flash, you know, is supposed to be the lighthearted show. They, you know, give their villains cutesy names and stuff, you know? Like, even though, like, danger is at their doorstep, like... And honestly,
I appreciate that, but it's just such, like, it's confusing when they do it in the same scene.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird because they sort of made it look like Wally was vaporized when he got sucked into the Speed Force. Like, he was, like, ripped up, which was another weird thing. So last week when he gets sucked in the Speed Force so that Savitar can escape, Barry's just standing there. Like, why isn't he super speeding to pull Wally away? And for that matter, like... Why can't he save Iris? Like, he's standing there for so long while Savitar speaks that he can't, listening to him monologue, that he can't run the short, very short distance. It's literally like 15 feet away from him to save Iris. Like, I don't understand.
Well, you can't make any sudden moves.
Yeah, I don't understand the way this is set up. It seems like such a lame season in general because they're just spinning their wheels. Like, they know what they have to do. But they just, I don't know.
Also, when they see Wally in the Speed Force, he's got clothes on. All his clothes melted off.
I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, granted, obviously he can't be naked, but I mean, shouldn't he just have like almost no clothes on?
He could have had his underwear on still.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the other thing, like, that made me kind of question if it was Wally, because last week we talked about how Wally got sucked into the prison and Savitar came out. We didn't really see him together, and Savitar was only in Wally's head.
Yeah.
But now Savitar's out. He's footloose and fancy free.
Yeah.
And Wally's back out of the Speed Force, too, so they both exist outside.
Well, I thought it was dumb once Barry sacrifices his way out that... And the Speed Force is trying to teach him a lesson that he needs to be the hero. That they have to rope Jay Garrick into there. I don't know. It's just Jay Garrick is... It seems like such a nice guy. Like he's like the best speedster because he's got a lot of wisdom. And he's an old dude who somehow got speedster abilities.
I love Captain Cold's line.
What?
When he shot him with the cold gun, he goes... getting a little slow there in your golden age.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good one.
It was a clever line.
But I mean, like, he's always rushing in to save Barry at the last second. And I mean, granted, he doesn't owe Barry anything, really, other than the fact that, like, they kind of broke him out of prison. But still, it's, I don't know. I felt like it undercut the lesson that Barry was supposed to learn here. Like,
yeah, that was, like, he went in to rescue Wally, and, like, someone needed to be there to take his place. So,
like,
it's Jay Garrick saving the day again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Barry saving the day.
Right. And I just felt like even in the episode where he's supposed to learn that it's supposed to be him saving the day, he doesn't save the day.
Yeah. That's when they're saying they're going to go back in and get Jay Garrick. So, like, maybe he'll finally, like, that will be him, Barry Allen, becoming future Savitar because he finally imprisons himself and that's where he loses his mind.
I don't know. What kind of sadistic person do you have to be to, like, create a prison where you just relive the worst moment of your life over and over? I mean, future Barry clearly is okay with it. He took some lessons from Oliver and was just like, this seems like a good idea.
So when they... Wally's worst moment is watching his mother die of cancer in the hospital bed.
Right.
So when Jay Garrick goes in and takes his place, he just kind of, like, says... See you later. And then he turns and looks at the hospital bed.
Yeah.
Like, is he watching Wally's mom die over and over again?
I thought something similar. I'm like, so is his also painful moment also in a hospital? Because, I mean, like, shouldn't this room have changed or something?
He just looks at the bed.
And I like that the Speed Force is just, like, hiding him in, like, a hospital. Like, honestly, they were just like, you can go see Wally if you can make it past this door.
I've seen other rumors that are less credible. Like, have you read about maybe HR being Savitar?
No, it doesn't make any sense either.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was much looser, but they're talking about, like, how he's the one who's always helping Wally, like, convincing Wally to get better.
Yeah, because I felt like they needed to... Nobody else wanted to train Wally. Everyone's just like, Wally, this is a very dangerous thing, and even though you have abilities, you should stay out of it. Which I always think is dumb because they just threw Barry in like it was no big deal. Yeah, whatever, you know, you've got abilities, but you can also save the day.
Yeah, and the Thawn version of Wells was just like, Barry, you have to do this. You can do this. He didn't be like, no, you're not ready for this.
So HR is the only one who I think understands Wally too, because he even says at some point, like, you have to praise Wally because he only responds to positive reinforcement. Like, you can't just, like, be mean to him. Like, that's all Barry is. Like, Barry's a terrible teacher because he's just short with Wally the whole time. And then he's just like, okay, Wally, sit on the sidelines. When he knows that, like, that's not what Wally wants or needs, you know? Like, I really need to do this myself, Wally.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Barry, right after he comes out of the Speed Force, having a tearful moment with Iris, just breaking off his engagement after she comes back to him?
I don't get it. I mean, honestly... We know they're going to end up together, and whether or not Iris, I assume, will make it out of this season, I feel like they're going to get back together right after Savitar is defeated, so, like, there's really no, like, tension or dramatic tension to this decision at all. Like,
I kind of want her to die now. Like, this, like, their relationship has been so annoying the past few episodes.
It is weird. As we've said before, like, he's basically dating his sister, but, it is weird.
Yeah, even Joe said, I don't want to lose my other son.
Yeah.
Both my sons.
I like Candace Patton. I really do. She's great on this show. I feel like they just don't use her at all. Like, they sort of tried a little bit when she knows she's going to die in May. So like, she's just reckless in general, like for that one episode.
Yeah.
But
then
like,
I'm like, is Barry like breaking up with her to soften the blow when he fails to save her?
Listen, I don't know. I feel like she should be doing something to save herself. She's you know, granted, she's the only person on like Team Flash besides like Joe and HR that don't have abilities at this point. But like, it's silly that,
Julian.
I mean, he's Dr. Alchemy, so.
Well, not anymore.
I don't know. But either way,
he's the guinea pig they put in the seat to talk to Savitar.
I just feel like, I don't know. I'm not really sure what she can do. Like, it's like she doesn't have powers, but like, I just feel like she's not really grabbing Destiny by the horns here. At least they're not showing her doing anything. And I feel like that's such a wasted opportunity. She's one of the better actresses on the show, or actors in general, rather, on the show. And I don't know. I just feel like she's underused. And like, this season could have been a big turnaround for her.
But I did like the scene where you see Caitlin with the baby, like what could have been if Ronnie hadn't died. And I thought that was a cool little scene, just because,
yeah,
like I kind of totally forgot about that because it hasn't been talked about in forever.
Yeah,
her character's kind of fallen completely by the wayside, yeah, except for the Killer Frost stuff.
And the Killer Frost stuff just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would her abilities just sort of make her a killer on top? Like, why does it change her personality when it hasn't changed anyone else's personality? You know, like, so I don't know.
I don't think we'll find out a lot more because next week's the big Music Meister episode.
Oh, did they tease it?
Yeah. I guess Hank Henshaw from Supergirl and Mon-El show up with Supergirl in the Flash's universe because she's under the spell of the Music Meister. That's the preview I saw.
Oh, so the Music Meister is from Kara's Earth and not... It's Kara, sorry. Kara's Earth and not not the Flash's universe? Not Earth 1?
Maybe. I'm not sure yet.
Oh.
And Martin Starn's in it for some reason, too. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I didn't really see, like, in this week's Legend, like, there wasn't any point where he, like, left the ship to be in it. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a fantasy that he's there.
But it seems like he definitely wants to show off his singing abilities, especially after this week's episode.
I mean, Legends this week, I think, was probably one of their better, if not best, episodes.
Yeah, I thought this was the strongest episode this week. Yeah. I loved it a lot.
I did too, actually. And I don't often say this about Legends episodes, because sometimes they, for me, can be real hit or miss. And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to be like sort of the fun version of The Flash now, because The Flash has just turned into some sort of boring plotting show. But yeah, the Legends this week were great. And I really enjoyed some of the little bits, like Ray just fulfilling a dream and walking on the moon, and just his interaction with Reverse Flash in general, I think was pretty cool.
Yeah. So just the setup for this week was they're going after the final piece of the spear. Commander Steel from 1942 has the final piece. He's in 1970 and he sent it to the moon, and it's in the flag that Neil Armstrong planted on the moon.
Yeah.
And Reverse Flash is hijacking Apollo 13 to get there, and they have to stop him.
I like when they get there and they're just, everyone's like, what? What's wrong with Apollo 13? No, it's fine.
It's like, what do you mean? Nothing rad's happened?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean nothing bad happened? Something bad's supposed to happen.
So, I mean, I really like some of the stuff they addressed this week, because now that Rip Hunter's back, like, he's sort of questioning his place on the Wave Rider. And rightfully so. Like, he was the original captain. It is his ship. But he left for a while, and Sarah has sort of taken over and done like such an amazing job with them. Like, they even comment, you know, Commander Steel there just said, like, you know, what an amazing job you've done with this crew, because when I first met them they were all bickering idiots and now they're working together as a team. He's like, I can't even take credit for that.
I did love the little scenes with Rip and Sarah, like how he felt ashamed of himself, and she's just like, well, you're the one that got us all together.
I feel like she does owe him that. Like, I mean, she herself feels like she owes him that, because like, it was his original crew, it was his original idea, it was his ship. He was the original captain, the one that they were fighting for, but it just works better with Sarah, because Sarah's not wishy-washy. Sarah makes decisions. She's a natural leader, and I feel like that's
and like we said
best.
Last week, she knows as much as the rest of the team. She's not trying to hide shit like Rip was.
Yeah. I think that's what makes her a good captain. She's not hiding things from people. She's, you know.
Although I would like to see her in the field more. It's been forever since we've seen her dressed up in costume and everything.
I really don't like her costume, so I hope they kind of maybe redesign that at some point. Yeah, I just felt like, I mean, everyone said that when it first came out too, but it hasn't really gotten any better. So,
I mean, she was spent the whole episode in like a flowery dress this week.
Yeah,
she didn't fight at all.
Honestly, I'm fine with her being in whatever. I just don't like her White Canary costume.
With the slick back hair.
Yeah.
So you said before, so the Atom, Ray Palmer, he shrinks down and sneaks onto the Apollo 13 shuttle, and he's trying to stop the Reverse Flash from stealing the spear, and he Reverse Flash loses his speed because there's no gravity. For some reason, he...
Yeah, I didn't really get that, because I felt like on the Flash, he can still vibrate his body and phase through things, but I mean, there was nowhere for him to go. He was in a little tin can.
I got it, because he there was no friction for him to push off anything.
Yeah, he couldn't run, but like I feel like he could still do that hand thing where he like shoves it inside your body and kills you.
Yeah, or at least like vibrate through the ropes that he was tied down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he could have at least done that, but for whatever reason, all right, he can't.
I really love the scene where the Atom is just talking into that old camera.
Yeah.
He's like doing a video log, and he's like, "We don't have enough rations. We don't have rations for days. We'll have to stretch them out." And then you just see Reverse Flash. What are you doing?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, for me on the show, Ray can sometimes be hit or miss. I mean, I really like Brandon Routh, but like I really liked him better on Arrow, because he was like a force to be reckoned with. But like sometimes on Legends, they just play him as like this. Yeah. Lovable goofball who's not like a genius.
You're right. He's definitely lost something from Arrow to Legends.
Yeah, and
he's too slapstick.
Exactly. And I feel like, I don't know, they play him like he's a 13-year-old a lot, which doesn't really make sense considering he's supposed to be a super genius that invented an Atom suit, and like he had like the business acumen to run like a huge successful, you know, billion-dollar company. So like sometimes when they play him off like that, it I don't know, kind of turns me off. But
that's
why
I really love this episode too, because
yeah.
he kind of forms a tiny alliance with Reverse Flash, and he's like, "Your dwarf star could power an entire city, but you're selfish. You made yourself a hero with that suit."
I actually love that that comment too, because it is true. Like, that was his intention, was to save Star City, and instead of using that power to like provide clean, cheap energy to people, and he instead powers his little suit, you know, just so that he can feel like he's a superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
And it made him question, like, it was like almost as if he didn't even consider the fact that he could have been using his you know, dwarf star ally to power a city.
Yeah, he's like just dreaming about movies and being like,
yeah,
the Jedi from Star Wars or whatever.
I mean, on his level, he is being a little bit selfish being a legend, because like he really could be doing a ton if he stayed in one place. You know,
that was
like,
great writing, because the best writing for villains is when they're evil, but what they say is true.
Yeah. And I liked that about Reverse Flash this episode, because he wasn't like cartoonishly evil who just, you know, wanted to destroy everything. He wants the Spear of Destiny so that he can
just live.
Yeah. That's his only plan in this. Like, he doesn't even care. Like, he doesn't have to kill you guys. He's just like, if you give him the spear so he can live, then he's cool with it, you know? Like...
Oh, that was one thing we forgot to mention in Flash, where he blows up Black Flash with, like, his tether.
His tether, yeah.
And I thought about that. I was like, so how is he still chasing Thawne?
I figured that Black Flash was just a Speed Force thing. Like, he's just a fake thing that Speed Force was trying to do to stop him. I don't know.
Well, he said Hunter Zolomon.
Yeah, but like I felt like he was just like the manifestation of Hunter Zolomon, yeah, like everybody else in the Speed
probably
Force.
Just reconstitutes himself.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. He used his tether to just blow him apart.
I kind of hope, I was hoping at the time that they would just like swallow up Barry and he would just die. And then Wally was like the new Flash. Like, they just had to move on from there.
But yeah, back to Reverse Flash. I also loved too when he was like reminiscing about when he was Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
Working side by side with Cisco and Caitlin.
When he says that, I'm like, wait, so what part of the timeline are you from? Because the Harrison Wells that did that, or the Eddie Thawne that did that, rather, died because he was erased from existence. So this Eddie Thawne, like, what point in Eddie Thawne's timeline is he from? Like,
say that again?
So if he's some other, he's Eddie Thawne from some other point in time that hasn't been erased yet, like from the time
that Wait, no, Eobard Thawne is his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, sorry, Eobard Thawne. He's from Eobard Thawne, like from the future, who hasn't gone back in time yet to create the Flash. Because if he went back in time to create the Flash, then he gets erased from existence before he gets to go back to the future.
God.
So like he's never really interacted with Caitlin and Cisco because he's from a time remnant before he went back in time to kill Barry's mother.
You give me a headache. But he is the same one from this season of Flash that he held captive for a while.
I mean, granted, like they've been a little loose with the rules and logic on Legends this season. To their credit, I mean,
well, they've said like he's a time aberration.
Yeah.
So he's,
but he can't stay in one place too long. Yeah.
So he has to keep moving so he doesn't get erased from Eddie Thawne killing himself. So that's why he wants the Spear of Destiny to rewrite reality so he just exists. But
I can't think
too hard about it.
Yeah. Cause like Legends doesn't, I mean, they even say in the intro, like they create more problems than they solve. So like there's really no point to them doing this at all.
What'd you think of the Adam's line on the moon where he's like, now I know how Matt Damon felt.
Well, then I was thinking, like, haven't you been doing this since before like that movie? Like maybe they just are able to watch movies that still come out on the ship. I don't know.
No. Yeah. Interstellar came out a few years ago, didn't it?
No, it was The Martian. I think it came out like last spring or something.
Oh, I thought they were referring to Interstellar. Because he was lost on that...
Oh, I thought they were thinking of The Martian when he was just like, he was stuck on Mars. I guess it could have been either.
Yeah, it could be either. So what else was in there? Anything?
The stuff on the Earth. Oh, so...
Martin singing.
Martin singing was... ridiculous. Like, oh, come up with a distraction, and then just start singing Deo. Like, I mean,
you just belts it out. Yeah, and everyone's like, what the fuck?
They liked it so much they left it in the end credits, which I thought was hilarious.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
And all those awesome facial expressions. There's like Mick sort of chiming in.
It's like, good poise, professor.
But it was like, once again, like, they didn't have Firestorm on the ship. So at the end, when like Commander Steel ends up sacrificing his life, like, which I figured he would die by the end of this episode because it doesn't make any sense to keep him around. He like Firestorm could have blown himself out of the ship and been okay.
Yeah. Couldn't he have flown down there and picked up Rey too?
Yeah, exactly. And then like, the same thing, like where,
I don't think Firestorm needs to breathe, but I may be wrong.
But I mean, they're already in the Earth's atmosphere. Like, you know, like they could have at least survived the fire coming out of the cargo bay and then like flew down. But even like Nate was saying, like, let me do it because I have superpowers. Like, I could probably survive this. And he's like, no, I don't want to risk it.
Or at least held on.
Yeah.
Like clamped himself.
He's like, nah, I don't want to risk it.
I want to die.
I think it's better if I die.
I don't want to have to deal with my son.
Yeah. And when Nate goes down to talk to his dad at the end, I'm like, haven't they already done this before with like Martin Stein? This is how they got into trouble.
So the tease for next week is about, I guess, Amaya sees the vixen from the one we saw on Arrow.
Yeah, this is the end of the episode. So it is true. Like, she can't, like, she has a destiny in the future. Like, her granddaughter has already saved a bunch of lives. So, like, can she really rewrite history? And then possibly sacrifice all those lives that were saved by her granddaughter.
History has a way of working itself out.
Evidently.
I am kind of glad Nate kind of torched his relationship with her because maybe they won't go off having sex and ruining missions anymore.
Yeah, exactly. When people really need them, they're just like, oh yeah, we're having sex.
Arrow this week.
Yeah.
I thought was a good episode too.
Did you? I don't know. I have some reservations about it. I really liked Adrian Chase. I love how he just like goes back to work, and even though everybody knows, he just like expects reports out of Mad Dog.
Turned into like an insane man.
No, but like he meets up with like Mad Dog and Captain Lance in the hallway, and he's just like, "Where's your reports? They're due.
Like,
I want that on my desk by the morning."
And then they're just like, "I'm gonna kill you."
Yeah, he's like, "I take my job very seriously. Where's that report?"
You can't threaten the DA. No, yeah. I won't expect those reports by morning.
I thought that was hilarious. I mean, I really liked now that he's out in the open and the Arrow cast knows that it's him as Prometheus. I love that he can just torch them like that. I mean, in general, I felt like Oliver was just like, enough already, Oliver.
So we do find out that Prometheus is not the true force behind this. It's actually Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, which I kind of assumed was going to happen. Well, they said something like he has a similar trainer to Oliver, but
I said that last week. I'm like, Talia al Ghul is going to be involved with this somehow.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to pick up a lot within 2 years. I don't really get Talia's motivation for wanting to kill Oliver. I know she said it was because he killed his dad. He killed her dad, but she's from the League, so she knows that. You know, like it's not like Oliver just did it in cold blood. Like,
I loved when he was talking when he goes to Talia's hideout, and he's talking to Curtis on the comms. And he's like, "Well, it. I think it says demon, or it might be lemon." And yeah. Oliver's like, "No, it's demon.
No, it's demon. Why would it be lemon?" So I thought it was cool that she was sort of training her own little like, League of Assassins there. But
she said she had a falling out with Ra's al Ghul, but she still wants revenge for Oliver killing him.
Yeah, and he's like, "So I guess you won't tell you who Prometheus is." And she's like, "No, I don't care. It's Adrian Chase."
Who's actually his real name is Simon Morrison. We know that now.
Yeah. So is that a comic thing?
I looked it up. That name has no meaning in anything. So.
Oh, okay.
But it does mean maybe the real Adrian Chase could still be Vigilante.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, why would you want that now?
I'm kind of annoyed by that now because he's such like a red herring character that's there for no reason.
I mean, that was the whole point of him, was to throw you off. Like, if you read the comics.
Yeah, but that's all it is just to throw you off.
Yeah.
He's not there for any other reason.
That's the point of a red herring, is to throw you off.
But there's got to be some resolve with him.
Well, I mean, they said they're not going to say who he is this season, so I guess it'll turn out to be somebody next season. My guess is going to be like Roy or something.
And he shows up to kill corrupt politicians, but only sometimes.
Yeah. It's like sometimes he decides. I don't get how he just disappears like he's a ghost or something. Like it's bizarre.
And I also kind of wonder, where's like Nyssa? Wouldn't Nyssa want to see her sister after all this time?
Well, the actress that plays Nyssa, who I'm drawing a blank on right at the moment, I think she was cast in another show, which is why she can't just like pop in now. Cause she used to pop in all the time, but she's in like doing a full-time show somewhere else, so they can't just like grab her. But she said she's totally down for it if they can work out the schedule. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So what else do we have this week?
The Susan Williams stuff. Like, I've never been a Susan Williams fan. I was kind of hoping that, you know, when Prometheus is holding her hostage and saying like, "Well, if you arrest me or you kill me, then she's gonna die, you know, so you can't do anything to me." And I was kind of hoping Oliver would just be like, "All right, that's fine with me, and I'll arrest you right now."
That was great when he kidnapped Adrian Chase's wife.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what was going to happen. Yeah. Like,
I'm like, I know he's just going
to
kill her.
Because it would be sloppy not to. Like, you can't just go with, like, his whole plan is that he can't be called out as DA. You know, people can't know his true identity. So, like, now that his wife knows, like, he's got to kill her off.
That was so savage, too, when Talia appears and they kidnap Oliver.
Yeah.
And Adrian Chase just goes back to the DA. And Susan Williams is there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she was just kidnapped and tortured by him. And he's like, "Oh, long time no see."
Yeah.
Playing it off like he's nothing.
Yeah. And she's like, "I don't really care. My plan went, you know, according to plan. So we got Oliver. If you don't want him to die, I guess you can't really say anything."
That's like the ultimate having to see your rapist.
I know.
It was like, it just made my skin crawl when he showed up. And he's like, "Hello, Susan. Long time no see."
I was kind of hoping he would just kill her there. I mean, Susan's the worst.
Yeah. Wow, what else happened in this episode? I know there were some other things.
Where's Thea? Everyone was saying.
Well, I called her. She said she's fine.
She said she's fine, yeah. This dialogue will hold us off until next week when we have to say, "Where's Thea?" What about, what did you think of Felicity's?
Oh, that
her
was
new,
it.
Like, hacker underground group.
Yeah. So that's obviously going to turn into a big thing at some point.
Yeah, I mean, she gives no fucks. Like, "Oh, you guys," my favorite part is when she first goes out of that thing, she's just like,
she gives them control of the homeland, the United States drones.
Well, she says like, "Wow, you guys have a lot of equipment. Like, not even the government has that. And she's just like, well, that's kind of the point. The governments can be corrupt. And like, so can, you know, active citizen groups who take the law into their own hands.
So I was wondering, do you think like they'll be revealed in this season, or do you think they'll develop into the big bad of next season?
I think they'll be the bad of next season. Because right now they sort of have a symbiotic relationship, or quid pro quo, as they were saying on the show. So like,
I'll quid you.
Yeah. So Felicity's just like, sure, I'll hack this drone and you can have control of the drone. Just let me figure out where this room is. Somebody's got to have been there before with a cell phone camera. And like, it's some rundown old hotel building or something with an elevator. Like, that's where it ended up being. Like, how did they have a cell phone camera of that?
The title of this week's episode was Checkmate. And I know it was about like Prometheus having them in check so they can't make a move. But I also wonder if there's like a double meaning, like this agency Felicity's working for could be Checkmate.
Wasn't Amanda Waller part of that?
Yeah, you remember they had Checkmate on Smallville.
Yeah,
towards the end,
because they had Amanda Waller on it, but then they also had like the Red Queen, which actually turned out to be Martha Kent.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I guess in the comics, it's like an offshoot of Argus / Task Force X Suicide Squad or Cadmus or what have you. It's another one of those.
I would be okay with it coming back if it meant they could bring back Amanda Waller, because I always felt like killing her off, and I know they did it because of the DC movies, the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
I just felt like killing her off was a bad idea.
So we don't know who's behind this hacker organization, who the big bad there is, so I'm sure that'll be...
No.
Any
and
guesses?
Felicity... No, because I'm not really invested in it, because right now I just don't care. Because I honestly... Felicity's starting to be a little bit more interesting now. Like, all I can usually think about her is, like, why did you steal Thea's apartment? And, you know, why aren't you more upset that you killed 10,000 people from a nuclear bomb? You got over it pretty quickly.
Well, Ragman said he forgave me.
Yeah, I guess that's okay now. I don't know. I mean, granted, you don't want to see her moping around every week, but, like, I don't know, some things about this show just, like, with Felicity don't make any sense to me. Like, when Ray dies and he leaves the whole company to her, like Palmer Tech, and then they decide that, you know, she's not great for CEO because she was constantly missing, and they fire her from CEO, like, she should still have a seat on the board. I mean, she still owns the majority of the stock. Like, you can't fire her from owning the company.
I bet you at some point, like, all this shit she's doing for the hacker organization will just get pinned on her, and she'll go to prison like John did or something.
Yeah, like, she doesn't see it coming, like, because she's blindsided. Do you like the hacker organization, like, just fully knows that Felicity is, like, the best one out of all of them? Like, they just give her some tasks, and she's like, sure, whatever. We couldn't break this encryption, but I'll do it on my laptop.
You know? Curtis helped her, and he's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
One stupid thing Well, it's not stupid. It's kind of interesting, but it's just a stupid thing. I was looking up Anatoly, his Russian friend, just because I wanted to like remember all about his character and how he like found him on the Amazo in season 2.
Right.
And I didn't make the connection. He's actually a villain from the comics named KG Beast.
Really? I never heard that.
He's like a Batman villain, and he actually made the line... When Oliver first dressed up in his Arrow costume, he's like, you can't just
be some sort of Batman or something. Yeah.
You can't just hide your evil and give it a name like a bat. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. But he's also in the Batman versus Superman movie. Anatoly is the guy who holds Martha Kent hostage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
I didn't ever think about that at all. But
I mean, I tried to block out most of Batman v Superman, so.
It's just interesting, like, these characters who I think are nothing are actually...
Well, yeah, that's why I was disappointed that they were actually making some really good strides with some of the DC characters. I feel like in the early season, like season 2 and 3 with Argus and Amanda Waller and the Suicide Squad stuff, and just being forced to write all that shit out of the show, like, I felt like it was a bad idea. I don't know.
Yeah, that's because of that stupid movie.
But I couldn't help but think, like, the whole time when, like, Prometheus is taunting him, like, why doesn't Oliver taunt him back? Like, you know, you're not as great a villain as Damian Dark was or Malcolm Merlyn. Like I feel like you just don't.
Or like, Slade Wilson.
Yeah, or Slade Wilson, yeah, like, who was probably one of the best villain on the show. It's just, it's ridiculous that, like, Prometheus is a seasoned villain. I feel like, I don't know, maybe at most he should have had a couple episodes, because his main goal isn't to kill Oliver or to expose Oliver. It's just to torture Oliver. Like, the stakes aren't really that high. It's just like Oliver's...
Well, I guess the real villain now is Talia, but...
Is it, though? I mean...
Well, because Prometheus is a lackey for her.
Yeah, but Talia is like, she wants her revenge too, but I feel like Talia's revenge is really just to kill him. But at some point, that's going to clash with the fact that he doesn't want to kill him. He said several times, I don't want to kill you. I just want to torture you and kill everybody in your life.
Maybe she wants to marry him.
What did you think about Oliver's like crisis there in the middle of the episode where he smashes up a lot of the Arrow Cave and he's just like, well, maybe if I wasn't close to anybody, this wouldn't have happened. I feel like five seasons in, this is a dumb realization
that's
to have.
Kind of been done to death already.
Yeah.
Because then when he gets captured, he's like, my friends will come for me.
Yeah,
they're my greatest strength.
Yeah, they're my greatest strength. I'm like, but you just lamented the fact that you had friends.
Yeah, you just talked about how you made them into targets.
Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like you're five seasons in. You've had so many different relationships with friends on this show. Like, why would you be coming to this realization now and not like the first time somebody got hurt on the team? You know, like, I don't know. So that part, sometimes Oliver, I feel like, is just, he expects more out of other people than he himself shows, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. Sometimes I find him really frustrating.
I don't know. I mean, he expects more from himself and he goes way so hard whenever he screws anything up.
Yeah. It's just like when he was attacking Thea for the Susan Williams stuff, I just felt like it felt so hollow coming from him, considering like all the terrible things he does. Like, what right does he really have to lecture anybody else?
Yeah. That was, I mean, yeah. How strongly he came down on her after she pretty much saved him from being outed in front of everyone.
And even with Felicity this episode, she fully expected to get like a tongue lashing from him. She's like, I'm glad that you at least cleared the room before you started yelling at me.
So is Susan just like okay with that now? She's not going to out him?
I guess so. I don't really know what their relationship is now. She said like, I'm not going to out you. But it still seemed very shady the whole season, the way they set her up to, I don't know, was it supposed to be red herring? Like, you're supposed to expect evil from her, but when you constantly show her investigating a man that she's dating and then using that material from the date to, you know, match him up with stuff that, you know, clandestine information she's getting under a bridge at night about guys in Russia, like, it just seems like she had ulterior motives all season, and now I'm supposed to be okay with the fact that she said, oh, I'll keep your secret. I was really a good guy all along. I was just trying to do a job.
There's got to be something we're not seeing, too, from the Russian story. Because, like, so just in this one, in the ice rink, they finally killed the other Bratva guy, Gregor.
Yeah.
But don't we still have Kovar that he was trying to kill in the first place?
Yeah, he still hasn't killed Kovar.
Yeah, so Dolph Lundgren's got to be back at some point.
Yep.
And will he be back in the present timeline?
I don't know. They try to tie that stuff together, but so far...
Is he, like, working with Talia, maybe? Or is it, maybe he's the hacker?
I don't know that the Russians...
The Russian hackers!
I don't know that the Russians were going to show up, because it seems like the tie to the flashbacks now is Talia in the present day. So, like, at some point, he's got to finish with the Russians and get back to the island and then make the realization that now is the time to be rescued. Now I should be Arrow.
Yeah.
And he still has to grow that huge beard that he had in the pilot. So he still hasn't done that yet.
It's just a wig.
Yeah. His beard wig.
Before we wrap up, have you seen the Wonder Woman trailer? Speaking of...
I haven't seen that one yet.
Want to watch it real quick?
Was there a new one?
We'll do it. Yeah, there was a brand new one just a couple days ago.
Okay.
We'll do immediate reactions live here on the air.
The gods gave us many gifts. One day you'll know them all. This is where we keep them.
Is this Earth or like another planet?
It's beautiful. Who would
this is Paradise Island.
Only the fiercest among us even could. And that is not you, Diana.
They still worship the Greek gods.
Oh, I didn't know if it was like they were from another planet or if Wonder Woman's from Earth.
Than any Amazon before her. Five times harder. 10 times
I guess it's supposedly like a magic island off Greece. That's like shrouded by magic.
Until she is better than even.
Why is she the only one who left and not everybody else?
But she must never know the truth.
She wanted to have sex
about what she is.
Is the only woman there?
Yeah, it's Amazons are. It's an island of all women. Men are forbidden.
So how do they reproduce?
Supposedly, like.
What is this place? Who are you?
It is our sacred duty to defend the world.
Right. Whoever you are in more danger than you think.
Be careful, Diana.
If no one else will defend the world, then I must.
Welcome to jolly old London.
It's looks hideous. Like she has a Riders of Rohan
sword. Yeah, it's not for everybody.
I really don't like her accent.
Yeah, what is her accent? Greek?
Is there anything else you want to show me?
This is like World War II period.
Oh, so it's kind of like the first Captain America.
Exactly, yeah.
Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta.
In the name of all that is good, your wrath upon this world is over.
I really hate this theme.
Yep, that's not gonna work. Please put the sword down.
It doesn't go with the outfit.
At all.
Well, at least they're trying to inject some humor into it, which I think some of the DC films really need.
The silly Amazon can't figure out revolving doors.
She's never seen them before.
I mean, that trailer looked decent.
Yeah, it's better than like the Suicide Squad trailers I remember before that when they came out, and the Batman v Superman trailers.
It didn't offend me like, yeah, Batman.
No, Superman. Yeah, I didn't have like a rage after watching that. I mean, I'm not super anticipating it, but I wouldn't be upset to see it, so.
Yeah. Anything else before we,
you probably don't watch Riverdale, but I've been enjoying Riverdale.
No, haven't seen any of that. You up to date on, Legion?
Legion was great this week. I think that might've been their best episode.
The one last night or?
No, I didn't watch last night. Last week's episode 5.
Yeah. I saw last week's. I haven't seen this week's yet.
Yeah. I haven't seen this week's yet either.
I agree. It's really good. The last week's did get a little bit too artsy fartsy, I thought.
Like, oh, I don't know. I really enjoyed some of that. Like when they go into the bunker to try to find David, and they're just seeing everybody is just like melted into the ground, like
blown apart.
Yeah, I love the sort of montage-y like music feel that they do with that. Yeah, I really love Aubrey Plaza on the show. Like whatever she's doing, it's great.
So we discover she's like the evil manifestation of his brain, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, they haven't really said, they think it might be some sort of parasite or some other mutant that's controlling him. But that his mind is sort of manifesting as, you know, the weird sort of alien cutout or the monster with the yellow eyes.
The big fat man.
Yeah.
Who Sid finally saw this week. The only other person to see him.
Yeah. And he goes to, attack her on the astral plane, and then she wakes up in the mental institution again, and everybody's there.
He is kind of like, he's getting like cocky evil now.
Yeah, well, because they don't seem to be able to stop him, and I liked
he's like losing his friendliness that I liked about him.
I liked that David and Sid finally got their moment. Like they figured out a way to be together, and it's on the astral plane. Like their powers don't affect each other.
Having mind sex.
Yeah. I liked her weird story where she's like, no, I decided I wanted to have sex once, so I took over my mom's body and then tried to bang her boyfriend in the shower, but then it didn't work halfway through. It just went back and then I got in trouble.
One last bit of news. You might enjoy this. Dr. Julian Bashir was cast as Ra's al Ghul for Gotham.
Yeah, I did hear that. I don't know if that's...
is that enough to get you to check it out?
I don't know. It's in season 3 now. I'd have to watch all of season 2 and then all of season 3. And then is he coming this season or next season?
I'm guessing next season. Because I'm sure they're done filming
this
season.
The thing with Gotham with me is I feel like, why are they introducing these guys now? Like, I mean, he's so far away from being Batman. Like, why have some of these villains just like as far along as they are? I mean, I know why, because like, you know, they made a Batman show about not being Batman and somehow want Batman villains in it. But it doesn't make any sense if like the police constantly stop these guys, because then what do they need Batman for?
it's just a different take, I guess. Like, I was listening to our friends at Unfit for FM earlier. They were talking about the new Batman movie, how it might be delayed. And I was like,
is this because Ben Affleck went to rehab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all that nonsense.
But they haven't really started shooting that. So, like, what's there to delay?
Yeah, but they're saying it might not even shoot till like 2018 now.
Oh, what's the point?
Here or they're rewriting the script or something. And yeah, I'm like, just scrap the whole universe thing. I wouldn't mind the DC movies if they were just like standalone movies, maybe adapted from comics. They didn't have to tie together.
I'm fine with them also not tying together. I'm also fine with them like doing what the Flash TV show does and have like an Earth 2 version where things are better than what they are now.
Like, you could have a Justice League movie and it's a story. You don't have to introduce them. Like, we know who the Justice League is.
Yeah.
And then you could have another Justice League movie 3 years from then and have a completely different cast. Like, we know the characters. The actors.
Well, I think
really
they're about to do that with the Marvel movies anyway, because a lot of these characters get, or actors rather, are getting old, much older. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is, you know, in his 50s. He's approaching, you know, 55, 60, like, within a couple of years. And, like, can Iron Man really do what he does at 60 years old?
I'd be totally fine if they recast characters in the Marvel Universe but kept the storyline.
Yeah.
Because it's just like in comics where you get a new artist and the artist draws them differently.
Sure, that's fine.
All right. Good show tonight. Thanks
thanks for listening.
Tuning in this week. Live on Strange Label, strangelabel.com. Hopefully we'll get our past episodes posted. Check us out on Twitter at the DC Monitors and on Facebook, the DC Monitors. And until next week. Are we here next week?
Yeah, I think we are.
All right, cool. But the week after you're on vacation, right?
Yeah, the week after I'm on vacation, so.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care. Have a good night, guys.